Hello and welcome to Breathe In, Booze Out. We're actually recording live from Beers Looking At You in Webster, Texas. One of my favorite shops recently that they'll, I think, what do they open up in August or June?
Yeah, August of, no, they're coming up on their 1 year already.
They are.
Yeah.
So never mind.
They opened up around this time last year.
And, well, we'll talk a little bit more about the store and everything near the end of the show, but we missed February.
Yep.
Very, very busy lives. So,
yep.
You know, important busy lives,
yep.
I guess you could say.
Very, very, very short month for a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 28 days. You know, really, I mean, technically it's the third. I mean, really, it ought to be, you know, if it was a standard month, it'd be almost the third. It'd be the 31st right now. So, I mean, you know, we're technically not late-ish.
It'd be the first because January has 31 days. So February would have to have 30. Wait, does it have it? Oh, Lord, now I'm confused. Anyways.
March 30th, April, March has 31, April has 30, May has 30.
31.
June has 30. Is this actually alternate? I've actually never paid attention. Does it actually alternate back and forth?
I think so.
That's entertaining. So. of all the things you learned in school, you would think that would be the one that I would actually know. 31.
Oh, no. 30. August has 31 also.
31.
July, August.
30. 31.
September.
31. Yeah, because you go like 31, 31, 30. Then 31.
Why don't they just take it and put it into, you know, February from that August one? Anyways.
Caesar.
Okay.
It's a Caesarian calendar. I mean, it's... Roman dating. Blame the Romans.
So we're going to feature two big things this month.
Mm-hmm.
First one is going to be Argus Cider,
yep.
Then Bell's Brewery.
Yep, because they just launched.
Been waiting on.
They just launched here in the state of Texas after basically a 2 year tease.
And then after that, we'll be talking about Beers Looking At You.
Oh, yeah.
I'm off today.
Yes, you are.
It's okay. All right, let's start off with Argus.
Yeah, so we're actually starting with, from the Fermentables line, there's a pair of ciders that are in six-pack cans. The first one we're starting with is Ciderkin. This is just a straight Texas heirloom apple cider. The cool thing about Argus is that Argus is really the first true cider house for the state of Texas. They're the very first ratified cider permit that the TABC has ever released as far as a traditional cidery is concerned. I mean, you know, we've had Leprechaun here. We have Duo here now. We have Austin East Ciders,
Ciders,
but none of those three. You know, Leprechaun closed their doors.
Really?
But, yeah, Leprechaun closed their doors. But all three of them source all of their fruit from outside of the state. Argus actually sources all of their apples from inside the state of Texas, specifically from Medina and Eatalo, Texas, out in the hill country. So this actually is the very first true cider house and cidery for the state of Texas. Now they don't do anything sweet. So whenever you see Argus ciders out there, you're not going to be walking into sugar bombs. You're walking into traditional Brut de Normandy style French bone dry ciders,
which is good too. I hate like those really sugary ciders, Woodchuck and mm-hmm. Angry Orchard,
which are all concentrated juice packs.
Yeah, it's not anything but.
Not to mention, on all of your like major mass produced ciders, they say naturally gluten free, but they're produced in brew houses that process wheat, so how can you actually know? True cideries are more like wineries. So Ciderkin is really their entry level cider, done more in a brut cava style sparkling wine fashion. Great thing I love about this myself, Jesus, is that I am a big sparkling wine fan. But I can't just buy a bottle of sparkling wine and not finish the entire bottle because I'm an old wino.
So the cans.
I like to call it sparkling. I like to call it high quality sparkling wine in a single serve format.
And at 4.5%, that's really good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very nice. It's very simple. Ciderkin is 100% apples. You are looking at a bone dry, lightly effervescent. She got such a beautiful bottle. Such a very light, effervescent finish, bone dry, light tartness on the back, and it truly is like a traditional sparkling wine.
Yeah, I mean, this, I could open this up on New Year's and toast to this.
Oh, I drink this one, as far as like just like ciders are concerned. You know, we all have our our fridge standards. This is Argus has very quickly become my fridge standard in the fermentable size from the cider world. Honestly, if you like ginger ale, you're really going to love what we have coming up next.
Let's do this.
This is what they call ginger perry. So this is actually a Bartlett pear cider infused with ginger root.
Wow. It's not like Canada Dry ginger ale where it's got that.
It's like real, like straight up ginger. It's dry. It's spicy. It's very straightforward. It's very full bodied for a pear cider. This is the cool thing about Argus, because they don't just work with apples. Like the pears are Texas pears also. We'll taste one here coming up in a few minutes called Tepache, which is a bone-dried pineapple cider.
Now, I mean, you know the origin of Tepache, right?
Actually, I don't.
So Tepache is actually from Mexico. And just like it's like a sour pineapple alcohol,
mm-hmm.
That's what they do in Mexico also.
Oh.
In the 60s, 70s, 80s, Mexico City, that's what was the key. It's like pineapple wine.
Okay.
And everybody was making those. You would go to, like, pulquerias, that's what they were called, instead of bars, to drink tepache. It's still out there, but, you know, commercial beer has taken over.
Is it kind of a regional delight, much like Chach is for Basque in Spain?
There was a point where it wasn't, where it was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it started coming down, you know, the scope was smaller and smaller, and it hasn't died out, but it's a niche thing.
So what is the knife? I just don't know enough about agave farmers, that real big flat knife that they use to shave the spines and the leaves off of the actual agave plant. What is that called? Because I thought that was a tepache.
No, I don't know what that's called right now.
Okay.
I mean, navaja, because that's a knife, but it's not that.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, kind of like
As I make the motion like I'm stabbing something, because I keep forgetting that this is an audio format, and what I was just doing was a visual device.
Yeah, but no, I know what you mean, and so it's funny, the tepache came to be like the after-work drink of the worker. And they had it in different varieties, different flavors and stuff like that. And it was all pineapple wine mixed in with mango, pineapple wine mixed in with this, you know.
So is that idea kind of where Acqua Fresca came from? As far as like in...
No, Acqua Fresca is going to be...
It's just...
Yeah, that's juice.
Okay.
You know, it's like taking anything. But going back to this ginger perry, this is really good. And when I do drink ginger ale, I like to put a little cognac in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would be great with that.
Oh, this would be great for anybody who wants to have a Moscow Mule.
Oh, that too.
As far as like an alcoholic mixer is concerned, I mean, you're coming in at 4.5% again, and that's really the kind of the marker for Argus in the fermentables category, is they want to be under 5%, and because they really do want you just to turn around and just crush and crush and crush six packs. For, you know, your gluten, you know,
for
drinkers. Yeah, if you're going to buy. So I'm actually going to get the tepache, because the tepache is ready. This is actually a special release. All right, so up next, we actually have a special release from Argus that now is actually only Cider House only, I believe. This is their Tepache Especial, 7.2% sparkling apple wine that's done in a bone-dry format.
They don't make this anymore outside of the Cider House?
No, they only have it available at the Cider House.
God,
I hate that. They don't... Well, truth be told, really, in the state of Texas, the kind of ciders that they're creating are not mainstream yet. They're not really accepted by, you know, the beer drinkers, because it's not traditional beer. You know, your cider and your sour drinkers really don't think of cider as a place to go to find really high quality complex liquid. Well, in the case of Argus, that's exactly what you should be expecting, is complex liquid, because they are fermenting to a bone dry state. This is 100% pineapple.
Now here you go. See this? It says Demisec fermentables, derivative of traditional tepache, a beverage based on utilization of the whole pineapple, wild yeast, and spices.
That's cool.
So the regular tepache, they put the rind in, they chop it up and then put the rind in and make it happen. My mom used to make tepache at home.
Huh, okay.
And it tastes a lot like this.
So this is actually still too much for me as far as like something that I that I honestly can thoroughly enjoy more than like one glass of. For this product specifically, I really need friends around to help me drink this because I just can't crush through a whole bottle of this.
I could enjoy this as like a patio sipper, a small like, you know, a small glass of it.
Uh-huh.
And if only it had that little stopper on top so I could save it up, you know.
Yeah. Or but, if he had something on the grill that, you know, like a jerk chicken or doing like some chicken, you know, some chicken wings, some pork, some fajita beef, and you have, you know, 5-6 friends around, you could easily kill a couple bottles.
You said this got is Cider House only, you know.
Yes, right? As far as I know.
So how old is the bottle?
This is actually a relatively recent run for them. This is probably about a year old.
The bottle's a year old?
Yeah. So all of their large formats tend to actually be vintage. So if you notice, like when we, like the Malice Cuvée, which is the last bottle that we'll have from Argus today, is actually has the bottled on date from 2013. So what we're going to be having is a little over 3 years old.
Oh my God.
The Heritage was actually bottled on in November of 2016. Vino Perde was September of 2016. This is actually from the test batch. This actually, this is the batch that they chose in the formulation that they chose to go to actual production with. So Vino Perde is actually now available in the market. Stellar is actually a vintaged cider, so it's going to be at least a year old. Wow. All of their large format vintage stuff, they treat it like wine. They only make a certain number
now
every go round.
The reason I was asking is because, of course, it's giving me that gassiness from older, you know, alcohol. And also, I tried this about a year ago, and that year difference brings out a lot of spice in it.
Yes, it brought out a lot of spice. It actually toned down the citric acid and the lactobacillus and the lacto nature on the back end. A lot more of the fruits coming through for me, because the first time I tried this, it was just like straight citric acid.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, now this, after a year of cellaring, this has really grown on me. I mean, Jeff and Wes have done a great job
with
this.
Yeah. I like it much better. The only thing I don't like is that the smell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you were kids? Because I think they banned them now. But do you remember that little paste that you got, and you would put it on a straw and blow these, like, bubbles?
Yes.
That's what that smells like.
That kind of, that polymerized plastic?
Yeah.
Ah! Now, see, you know, I actually do have a question, though, because, you know, this time last year, you and I were also completely different drinkers. So is it the year in the bottle or the year for us? Probably a healthy combination of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, yeah, because it's beer drinkers, I mean, we were just in such different places a year ago.
I specifically remember this taste when I tried it because I was so excited to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had it, the first time, it was brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the notes on it were brighter. You could taste more of that pineapple come through as fresh pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
Now it tastes like older pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds redundant saying it
tastes oxidized,
yeah,
which is exactly what it should be. But, you
it's delicious, though. God.
What the finish and what the exhale reminds me of, you know how you know the difference is between taking a pineapple and slicing it at home versus buying pre-sliced pineapple?
Right.
That's what it kind of feels like to me. Like a year ago when I tried it, it was all citric acid, but then there was like that fresh fruit feel. Now it's got a little bit that oxidation, it's got that age, it's got a little bit more of that umami characteristic.
Man, that spice in the back, though. After a year, it tastes... Okay, I know what it tastes like. Pineapple with tahini now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that.
what it reminds me of a lot now is... salt and peppered fruit. Just like taking a fruit bowl and tossing some salt and some spicy, spicy rub over it.
Have you had pineapple with tahini?
If tahini's what I think it is, is it that like spice, like dust?
The spice powder, yeah.
Okay, yeah, then absolutely. Yeah,
that's
exactly what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're like, yeah, taking... I think your whiteness is showing when you're like, yeah, you get the fruit and put the salt in.
I'm Wonder Bread white sometimes, all right? I am straight up Wonder Bread white from time to time.
I really enjoy this. I liked it the first time around, and I'm enjoying it right now.
So on a 5-star rating, what would you give it if you're rating it on Untappd?
Are we doing the year old or fresh?
Well, Let's actually see what production run is actually going to pop up whenever I type it in. Just because. Okay, so Untappd. It's just under Tepache Especial. There's no vintaging on it. So let's assume this is a year old. What do you give it on a 5-star scale? Because I'm fading towards a 3.
The year old, yes, 3.5. No, 3.25.
3.25? Mm-hmm. I can get behind that. 3.25.
It's just so... Like I said, it's brighter. As someone that went to Mexico a lot, eats a lot of Mexican, authentic Mexican snacks and all that,
uh-huh.
The taste in this really, man, brings up some memories.
Like I said, I couldn't drink an entire bottle of it, but I do dig the heck out of it.
Yeah, no. Well, especially now since it's like so, makes me want to feel gassy and stuff.
Yeah, it's like I'm you know, that we probably were a little more, I was a little more ambitious than you are.
All right, time for the next offering.
So, you know, we've done...
Well, before we go to this one, you had something...
We just did a blended cider and cider can. We just did a pear cider with the ginger root and ginger pear, and we just did the Tepache Especial. You know, all of this is leading to sort of a greater grander ideal with Argus and being single varietal style ciders, which is really more of a French style of making cider, mm-hmm. and that's where the Brut de Normandy comes in, because Normandy, France, is world renowned for very bone dry, high effervescent, high carb, low sugar ciders, mm-hmm. and that's while Brut de Normandies do sell here, the Brut de Normandies that sell here are really more Pomfrescas, which are lower in alcohol, demi sec, off dry, more sweet, less off dry, straight apple wines, which is really. Honestly, a crime for which is really, in my opinion, another crime the French have against America. and the Germans, because real true to form traditional German Riesling is not dry. Sorry, it's not sweet. It's actually bone dry.
And that's Charles Smith wines.
Yeah, Kung Fu Girl is very, 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 very much Northern Bend Mosel, because you do have an acid structure there that you don't find in our normal circumstances. But that's just it. The French send us all the sweet stuff, and the Germans send us all the sweet stuff, and it's actually a joke to them, to the unrefined American palate.
You know,
it's
funny. My wife has people from Australia, family from Australia, and they came over here, and they saw Yellowtail.
Uh-huh. And laughed.
What the fuck is that? We don't even have that over there.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Bulk juice houses, man. So, yeah, but what Argus is doing is that they're really bringing a really fun slice of Europe from the wine side of the world to the cider side, and really doing a great job of trying to educate, us from a palate standpoint.
Sorry, I just grabbed the bottle instead of my glass. I guess that's how much I like it. So
what we're going to do next is we're actually going to start their single varietal series, and we're going to be starting with the 2015 Stellar cider, which is more of a traditional Prosecco di Prosecco style cider,
mm-hmm.
And it's 100% Stellar apples.
All right, let's get down to it. And now on to the Stellar.
Yeah, so this is part of their single varietal series. So Stellar is actually a single varietal grape. Sorry, I keep saying grape. Single varietal green. it's a smaller green apple that's really known for more pear-like qualities. This actually spent over a year in a combination of French and American oak casks also. So this is a 1 year oak-aged. One year oak-aged and fermented single varietal cider. That's going to be a little fruit forward. It's going to have a light pear on the finish. But really, this is more like a true Italian Prosecco di Prosecco, or even a very traditional Brut Champagne from France. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be earthy. Yeah, it's going to have the oak on the back end. It's really, really pretty. In fact, if you look at it, if you actually look at the juice itself, because it's 100% apples, it actually almost has a green tinge
definitely see that. It's funny, though, because at first smell, it's kind of off-putting.
Well, it's got a little bit of sulfur on it.
That's what that is. Wow.
Fruit wine or grape wine all create sulfites. So while they're saying that yes, this is a cider, no, this is produced more like a traditional wine. Everything they make is produced with the care of a winemaker.
That's weird, but good.
It'll grow on you really fast too.
It's like drinking a match.
Mm-hmm.
But without the smoky part to it.
Yeah.
Like the,
The wooden part with a little bit of salt, yeah.
Yeah, so you get a light salinity, you get a little bit of acid, you get that full palate activating umami flavor, but you still also get a very nice light fruit. I mean, this guy only clocks in at 6.3%,
and it tastes stronger than that. Yeah, definitely.
It comes off very confident, but still very gloriously elegant at the exact same time.
God, that sulfur smell, though.
You know, the really great thing about this, though, is that, you know, your really high-quality kind of sparkling wines are going to run around, like, the $20 to $30 range. This is on most retail shelves at about $14 for a $7.50, and it's got the swing top on it. And this is a traditional Kolsch-style swing top from Cologne. So this is going to keep the swing top on this guy is going to keep this fresh for 2 weeks.
I was about to ask how long you recommend the swing tops, but you answered that question already. So.
Well, and on top of that, you know, these swing tops can also act as growlers too. So you can actually reuse these bottles for fills.
Yeah, but who's going to give you like a price for $7.50? You know,
I mean, if you use like a Grosch ball, like a 500, it's pretty easy.
Man. So, is this like the Scotch of ciders, in a sense?
The Brut de Normandie style it can be kind of looked at that way. But in this case, for this grape specifically, and with it being on the oak, it does kind of put off a little bit of like an Islay Speyside style kind of Scotch. Where, you know, if you sip on this and you let it warm up, because I really didn't even really let this guy get all that cold either. So
yeah.
We're really more cellar temperature right now, about 58 to 62 degrees is what we're sitting on the glass.
So and warmer, it's going to bring out...
It's going to bring out a lot more flavor. You're going to get a lot more aromatic out of it. You're going to get a little bit of spice note as it warms up.
Yeah, no. Well, that's what I was saying. In the world of ciders, compared to whiskey, would this be more of the Scotch
if traditional cider is sour mash whiskey, you know, if you say, you know, if ace cider or Woodchuck is Crown Royal
or Jack Daniels,
this is Glenmorangie. This is Macallan. This is anything from Islay. This is Michel Cuvée. This is your Oban. This is your single varietal, single malt style dram in cider form. Okay, so I've already got it up. I'm going to check it in. Hit me. See, I really fade towards a hard 4 on this guy myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to continue with the 3.5.
I'll go 3.5. Yeah, I'll meet you in the I'll meet you at 3.5. Would you consider it to be both tart and dry at the same time?
Yes, very much so. I need water after this.
Oh, see, this is perfect for me.
That was.
I can just. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they sell water. I mean, they have good ass beer.
That was a dumb joke. So if you say if it was dry. Eric's giving me these like. Shut up, dude.
I'm just gonna sip in solemn silence, sir. Sip in solemn silence. The next one we have coming up is probably my favorite varietal that they could make in the Heritage Apple. I mean, you know, they only release, as far as their single varietals go, they only release Stellar and Perennial outside of the tap room right now. But by far and away, one of my favorites is what we're about to taste in Heritage, Heritage is a red-skinned apple, much along the lines of the traditional American crab apple, that they actually release it outside of the state, but here in Texas, they only release it at the taproom.
I hate that.
Well, I understand that you hate it, but you also think about the culture that you're selling to. Just, I mean, you know, they're aligned with Shelton Brothers in 20 states.
Just let me hate it. That's all.
You can hate it all you want, and you can also be wrong all you want, too.
All right, let's move on to the next one. And so now we're doing a Heritage.
Yeah,
so out of the bottles that you brought, two of them were fancy bottles with the stoppers. And even though it really wasn't, whenever something wants to portray that it's handwritten, it means it's fancy. So Heritage is the first one that we're trying out of their cellar series. What about it?
Yeah, so the Cellar Series is a really fun thing that Argus does because it allows them to, A, test batch things that maybe they that might be coming up for release, or in the case of something like Heritage, where the literally the batch size is 6 hectoliters, which is basically 10 barrels in the beer world, it really gives them a chance to just handcraft small batch items, just like Jester King. In fact, if you really want to have some fun with Argus, you know, they're only 3 miles from Jester King off 290. So you can go to Jester King, get all your fruit beers, get your farmhouse out of the way, get your Jester King on, and then you can finish the day at Argus.
And it's good because they're lighter ciders, so you don't, you know.
They're on the lighter side of life. And in the case of Heritage.
Well, Jester's also very light, too, no?
Jester King's insanely laid back. In fact, Jester King actually supports Argus pretty hard.
Jester King's beers are very light.
Some of them can be, yeah. Some of them are really light. You know, you get like Commercial Suicide, which is really, you know, traditional like farmhouse mild that runs around in the 3-3.5 range. Mm-hmm. Petite Prince runs around in the 4-5, but a lot of their stuff is higher than 6. You know, when it comes to cider, yeah, you're used to seeing ciders in like the 3% range. But if you think of ciders as, if you think of like true whole crushed cider as wine, like you should be, 6% is the low bottom of that spectrum.
So no matter what, you're going to go get fucked up. That's all.
I mean, yeah, you can get it'll get you where you want to go. So, but here's the cool thing about Heritage. So I just pulled up Heritage on Untappd. You want to know how many check-ins it has? 9. Hold on, 6 of those are from this month. So what does that tell you?
It's coming out.
It just recently released. So mm-hmm. We're actually one of the first to actually talk about this.
Oh, look at us.
Indeed, fancy schmancy.
Bebo exclusive.
Hey, it helps to know people. Thank you, Jeff. Like, thank you, Wes.
I do like the dryness in it. It literally dries my tongue out.
Mm-hmm. What I really like about this is that this is really more more English in nature as far as stylistically is concerned. You know, if you were over in England, this would really be more of like a traditional like pub draft cider. Than anything.
Yeah, I could see that. But, man, that's delicious.
Okay, so out of 5 stars, what you think? This is the because for, okay,
this
so,
is creeping up on 3.75.
See, I'm such a ridiculous like over the top nut for this style. I'm at a hard 5. I'm at a hard 4.2.
Okay, 3.75. I'm fine there. Either one. If you want to give it a 4, I'm not opposed to giving it a 4 in this one.
If you're not opposed to it, I am not either.
All right. So.
Booyakasha.
All right, next Cellar Series that we're moving on to.
This is actually their newest commercial release called Vino Verde. It's a Vino Verde-style Bartlett pear fruit wine.
All right. Well, I guess we got to give it a shot.
So Vino Verde. So you know what Vino Verde is, right?
Vino Verde?
Vino Verde.
Green wine? Green wine, yeah.
So Vino Verde. Vino Verde. Is a light effervescent, very sunny wine that's good for the springtime out of Portugal. In this case, they've taken the same idea of Vino Verde and did it with Bartlett pears, so they called it Vino Verde. I love this. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, it went down.
That's good. Solemn silence. Waiting for remark.
I'm trying to put my finger on it. That's why.
It's bright, it's citrusy, it's sunny, but yeah. It's made from pears. It's not made from grapes. So it's got a little bit of a rounder finish.
Way sweeter.
It's a rounder finish. It's got a little bit more sugar on the back, and it clocks in at 6%. So it's a little north of what a Vino Verde usually comes in at. Vino Verde runs around in like the 5.7 range.
And this is
6.8. So rounder, a little fuller bodied, but still nice, light, and embodies a beautiful kind of citrus back end. Lightly effervescent.
I'm so confused about this.
It's okay to be confused by this. This is kind of confusing for me, too. It is. It's a confusing little animal. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still another high-quality offering that is just over-the-top good.
Hmm. Okay. I'll deal with it. I mean, it's good. I don't say I'll deal with it.
You said you deal with it. That's not very nice.
Because I'm still kind of figuring it out, and it's not a bad thing. Like if someone handed me a glass of this and said, "Hey, this is good," I'm not going to be like, "Eh, I like it," but I'm trying to find out why I like it.
Could it be? I'd be willing to bet really good money that part that's sort of a combination of everything. It's part the finish, it's part the flavor, it's part the idea of it. The fact that you can make something like this out of pears and it not really taste a whole lot like biting into a pear.
No, It's not that.
Okay.
Maybe it's the fact that... I don't know. I don't want to, like, dwell too much on it, but it's just... It's different for me.
Do you like it?
Yeah. It's not... Okay.
Would you,
okay. Maybe it's because of Ace Cider.
Maybe.
And how sweet Ace Cider is. You know, compared to this right here, when you're telling me it's a pear cider.
Yeah, Ace Pear is, like, super, like, sticky sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's dumb this down. Let's follow the three simple rules of wine. Uh-huh. You know, when you're trying to figure out why you like something, answer the following questions. Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Okay, do you like it?
Yes.
Would you buy it for $11.99?
Maybe.
There you go. That's easy.
If we're doing the untapped thing,
which
I think I'd go on a 2.75 on it.
See, I actually like this as like a 3.25. So you want to meet in the middle? Call it a 3.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
that's fine. I'm still kind of, I'm just wondering what it is. Still,
it's all good. Really and truly, it's this is going to confuse a lot of people if you're not a. This is really a cider for the wine drinker. It really and truly is.
So you have this bottle. All I see it says is Malus Cuvée.
Yeah.
And it was bottled in September 2013, which is a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what we're getting into here. So I was talking with
3,900 bottles.
3,900 bottles produced to this guy. So this is actually a blend of two different growing regions here in the state. One growing region out of Medina. The other growing region out of Idaloo. They actually do name their orchards. So Apple County Orchards and Love Creek Orchards.
Oh, Love Creek, yeah. Oh, it's got floaters in it. That's gross.
Lies. This is completely 100% apples, whole crush, unfiltered. This is a still apple wine. Now the cidery very, very proudly claims that this is the best cider that they have ever made.
Whoa!
Specifically this 2013.
And it's 7.3, which is pretty heavy on the cider scale.
It is pretty heavy on the cider scale, but it's not heavy on the wine scale. But I, like I said, I've never had this. I have no idea what we're walking into.
Cheers! Let's do it.
Sláinte Marth.
Oh God! I can.
Oh.
That is beautiful.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's so cool. That's a lot like a traditional Asturian Sidra Natural. Asturias is just west of Basque in Spain.
Can I have this bottle?
No, you cannot.
Can I have a little more in a little bit?
I can give you a little more, though, because it's really
good. Not right now. Hold on. Let's enjoy this. So
this is actually really cool. It's kind of funky. It's kind of tart, but it's still very round. It kind of drinks a lot like a... So there's a grape called Semillon.
Mm-hmm.
And Semillon is kind of a hybrid in between Chardonnay and Sauv Blanc. So you get all the high acid. You get the vibrant fruit. You get the lemon. You get the citrus of like what a Sauv Blanc would have. But then you turn around, you get the roundness, and you get the full-bodied nature of a Chardonnay. And this was done in oak. So you get a little bit of the oak on the back end. You get a little bit of natural, like, malolactic fermentation going on. So it's a little buttery. It's a little rich. It's a little bit of a lot of things.
That's crazy.
And, damn.
Yeah, no, that is. And when they say that's one of the best ciders
No, they say that this is the best cider that they have ever made. And I agree with them also. I mean, just...
I'm
going to
dare
and
put this on a 4.5.
Yeah, I'll go 4.7.
Okay.
Yeah. What was it? Ryan asked me what it would take to get almost a 5. That.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like, if you're a beer drinker, a wine drinker...
If you can get a bottle of this, you need it in your life.
So do they still make this one? Or?
Yeah, I'm not really sure where this bottle came from.
Just that we got one.
I was told that it was pulled out of the cellar. I don't know how many of these they still have left. But Jeff, I know you're going to listen to this, and I need more. More, please.
Also me too.
So the Malus Cuvée, you know what it reminds me of?
No.
The wine caves in Germany.
Okay, I haven't been to Germany and nor to wine caves, so...
Okay, so there's this great little place out in out in Germany named Bossmann Jordan, where they have the oldest wine bottles that are still considered drinkable in the world. And the oldest Riesling vintage that is possible is 1812.
Wine bottles from 1812.
Wine bottles from 1812 is the oldest drinkable vintage on record.
Have you drank any?
No, they wouldn't let me open one. I was surprised they let me hold one of the bottles. But no, but just something like this really reminds me of that really just that true Germanic spirit that that Texas has. And you know, being in Austin, being basically in the centralized area of Germanic culture in the state, it is really nice to see something that really that truly harkens back to more of a German style culture.
Now,
that's not beer.
How much would one of those 1812 bottles go for? I have to ask.
I asked, they wouldn't tell me, but I was told that there were multiple commas.
Multiple what?
Multiple commas.
Oh.
In euros.
More than you look poor, you can't have this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, unless you're the Pope, you're not getting one of those 1812s.
Wow.
And even then, I'm pretty sure the Pope couldn't get one.
Unless it was like the second coming of Jesus and he had to
mess with... I've actually got pictures of those bottles on my phone, on one of my old phones. I'll show you one day because it's wicked cool. But no, so, Jeff, Wes, thank you very much for providing the bottles for Argus.
So
we really need to get you on the show one day.
I've been switching the ciders little by little lately. I've been trying the Bishop Cider, the Moonlight Meadery. There, how about them apples?
Mm-hmm.
I saw ciders. Sorry, I mean it's made from apples. Can we count?
It's more of like a Braggot style cider.
Okay,
you would technically classify that as a Cicer, Cyser.
C-Y-S-E-R.
Yeah, so a honey and apple blended cider is a Cicer.
See, there are more genders than just two.
So. Absolutely, I identify as sure.
But no, the how about them apples? 13.5% rye whiskey aged mead. Holy shit, that's good. Have you had that?
No, I need to now.
We'll probably have one tonight. 13?
No, we will not.
No, there's three of us, so we can
I understand that, but no, we will not. Not today.
So, that's been delicious. Titan. I like Titan, sorry.
I know, Titan.
My wife picked up a couple of those. I drank one. I'm like, what the fuck? This is cider.
Yep.
And I enjoyed it.
They make a hop cider that's stupid.
Yeah, no,
the apricot cider that'll take the top of your head off.
So those have been delicious, and to be honest, I've never really tried Argus, and now I'm a fan.
Dude, I'm telling you that ciderkin and that ginger perry, they're fridge staples for me.
Oh, I also tried the rum barreled Austin East ciders.
Good.
Very good.
Nice.
Very, very good. I'm enjoying their age series.
I like the Austin East stuff. I just wish that they'd follow suit for Argus and get their fruit here.
That's it.
But at the end of the day, that's kind of nitpicky.
Yeah,
on my part.
It is. God. Anyways, let's move in to Bell's. Give us one second while we get our things ready.
Holy Jesus.
Just kidding. We're not going to Bell's. So
I hate you. I hate you so much.
So I know Eric said we weren't going to drink it today, but we're drinking a Moonlight Meadery. How do you like them apples?
I don't like them apples, thank you very much.
This is a honey apple wine aged in rye whiskey barrels. Clocks in at a 13.5%.
So this is a stark contrast to what we were drinking. You know, we went from elegance to sledgehammer to the face.
It's still elegant, though. I mean, drink it up.
On what planet is a 13.5% apple cicer in rye whiskey barrels elegant?
Because it's aged in rye whiskey, it takes
time. That's not elegant.
It takes time.
Time consuming does not mean elegant.
Yeah, because if you're really like a slosh, you just want to go like in there and you would drink the cider straight before it got it to the rye whiskey barrels.
I hate you so much.
It's nice and sweet. It's got very good notes on it.
I don't know how the hell they got it that sweet at 13.5. That is just insane. I'm actually quite serious. I'd actually really like to know how the hell they got this thing. It's the honey. I mean, the honey.
That's what I like about it, though. It's got that huge honey taste to it.
Jesus Christ.
And that's what you, like, that's the forefront of it all, is that honey taste.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like my cicers. I really do. I do genuinely like cicers. I like cicers more than meat. I like cicers more than Braggots. That is obnoxious.
I like it, though.
It's obnoxious in a good way, but it's obnoxious. Thank you.
Our buddy Francisco took a sip of it, and yeah, the reaction is priceless.
Yeah, I love the flavor profile. Like the first three things, strong, boozy, sweet. Yep, yep. And
That's what it is. It's plain. If you want to get fucked up, get a 4-pack of this and then die.
Good God. Dude, I don't know how you drink a whole can of that. There are very few things in the alcohol world that I look at and go, how do you drink that? And usually most of them start with the word BrewDog.
Oh, God. So this is entering BrewDog territory.
Well, it's like the comprehension behind it. How do you drink an entire can of that in a sitting? Like Paradox. Isla Jura Paradox was amazing. There ain't no way you're drinking an entire bottle of that by yourself.
But I think that's the point of this. It's
sink the Bismarck.
Yeah, you're not going to drink them on your own.
That's a
bottle to bring out to brag to people.
Which I have one of those.
Never. Oh. You're not invited to my 5-year 120 then.
That's fine. I've got the same 5-year. I'll just drink it at the house.
6-year now.
Okay, I haven't bought one in a few years.
Anyways, I just wanted to bring this out.
Jesus Christ.
To fuck us up a little bit more.
I hate you so much.
No, you don't.
I kind of do, actually, because...
You love this experience.
Well, no, okay, don't get me wrong. It's actually really good. I would have never thought of throwing a cider into a whiskey barrel. Or a mead, for that matter. This is actually kind of cool. The thing that I do like about it, though, is that the rye whiskey's keeping the honey in check enough to where you can actually taste the apples. I mean, there's nothing about this that actually screams, hey, we use concentrated juice. This tastes like whole crush apples.
It does. Francisco, what do you think?
It's like a...
Oh, too sweet.
It actually is like biting into a good Honeycrisp apple, though. Yeah. I will give it that.
Yeah. All right, now we'll go to Bell's. Haha, JK. Okay, so now we're switching gears from cider to beer.
Yep.
And I had exciting news at the cider world because I discovered a new brand of cider that I love and will drink. And now we're going to have exciting news in the world of beer with the arrival of Bell's to Texas.
I would like to speak for the entire state of Texas. Bell's, greetings and solicitations.
Yeah. Solicitations?
Absolutely solicitations. Send us hop slam, you bastards.
Is that how you say it?
Well, it's greetings and salutations.
Okay. That's what I was like, what? You're going to go solicit to them? Like,
that's actually how I greet some of my customers, greetings and solicitations. I am a sales guy, after
yes,
all.
Yes, you are.
Okay, so we're starting with Oatsmobile. This is actually one that I've never had before.
Oh, wow.
Oh, son of a bitch, that's good. I love you, Bills. I'm sorry to coach you, bastard, for not sending us hop slam. Send us hop slam, you bastards.
Hop slam is seasonal. So.
Dude, this is less than a week old. Or a little over a week old.
Oh, Lord.
2/20/2017.
With a shelf life. I appreciate this. Shelf life, 6 months.
Yeah. That's how it should be. 180 days.
4.3 alcohol. It's Oatsmobile is a pale ale brewed with oats.
Session pale. 4.3.
Okay. Whatever.
And it is damn delightful.
This is delicious. Yeah, no. Wow. I have a friend in Michigan, and we always talk about beers and stuff, and she always teases me that we don't have Bell's.
Yeah, we have it now.
Now we do. And then I remember talking to her about Two Hearted Ale, which we'll try in a little bit, and she told me, she said the first time that she drank it, it tasted like burnt toast, and she's only drank it once, only because she was incredibly drunk at the time. And I can see where she's doing that. But this Oatsmobile.
That's super good.
This is a literally a breakfast beer.
Yeah, you get a little bit of the oats on the back end. Really nice kind of mellow and mild hop profile. Just enough hops to kind of get you where you want to go. Just a light enough malt build to keep it under 5%. But the oats are really what's shining here.
If I had to drink a beer before noon, I like this one.
Yeah, actually, I kind of agree with you. You know, my breakfast beer forever has always been Martin House Daybreak. Mm-hmm. It's just simple, easy, nice little milk honey beer. This I could put right alongside that and be completely okay.
Like, I got to wake up at 5 in the morning to go to work for 12 hours. I think this is a beer that I would like to have before I went in. Like,
pop it open in the parking lot of my job and chug it down and be like, okay, let's go, Dave.
What is it that you do for a living again?
What's up?
What is it that you do for a living again?
I work in the ER.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm not going to drink a beer. I know more than...
Lies, you know. Dirty lies. Jesus is a liar.
But this is a very good beer.
That's really easy to drink.
Yeah, I know. You just chugged that down.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot in it. Nada. Nine.
But anyways, yes, Oldsmobile. I wanted to drink this because my first car was an Oldsmobile. And
I have driven my fair share of Oldsmobiles.
I had an Oldsmobile Alero.
Nice. I drove an 86. The Oldsmobile 86.
I don't remember those.
Basically a yacht on wheels.
Yeah. Oh, one of those big boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now I remember.
It was like the super long, like Lincoln Town Car style sedan. The trunk you could hide five bodies in.
My parents had one of those because they always had like two of the year Suburbans, and out of nowhere, my dad buys like an old Oldsmobile 86.
My grandmother had an old 86 that I really liked.
And this was in like 1998. It was like a 1985, 84. Had a cell phone in it and everything. I was like, holy shit. Oh, man, Two Hearted Ale.
We're doing Two Hearted next because Bell's made a Texas exclusive. We'll do that one last, and that'll be our live review for the month.
We've got a couple more beers after that.
No, we do not.
No. Holy shit. So I chugged the Oldsmobile down. You can taste those oats.
Yes, you can. It's really, like I said, round, lightly different malt profile than what you're used to. I mean, we do have a brewery that makes an oat pale ale here in the state that's Ranger Creek. Ranger Creek needs to learn how to make an oated pale ale.
I'm still putting that in my mouth.
As much as I absolutely love Ranger Creek's OPA, their oat pale ale, they need to really learn how to make an oated pale ale, because that is putting on Oatsmobile. It's putting on a clinic for how to actually use oats.
How long has Bell's been around?
Late 90s.
Yeah, somewhere.
I think so. I think late 90s. Please hold while I do some quick research.
I'm gonna pour some of this for Francisco. See what he thinks. Francisco's my buddy. He came over here to kind of hang out, and he's trying out everything.
Yeah, so Bell's is 30 years old.
So that puts them at 97?
No, it puts them at 86. I'm 34.
That's 40.
How old do you think I am?
52.
You're a lying cocksucker. No.
Did you say they're 86?
80s. I'm 34.
Yeah,
I was born in 82.
So they're 38 years old.
How do you not understand basic math?
I'm drinking a lot, so...
I am 34 years old, and I was born in 82. Obviously, they're 38 years old if they were born in 86.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. They're 38.
I'm going to hit you.
All right, so math wizard.
They were founded in 1986, so that makes them 30 years old right now.
Oh, I was thinking something else. Never mind.
As I said, how are you this bad at math?
I'm not Asian. My wife takes care of the money.
Get Ryan on the phone.
No, my wife takes care of the money. She's Asian.
So. I love you so much, Two Hearted Ale. Holy shit.
Yeah, so...
Okay, truth be told, when I first tried this, I was so done with IPAs. I was so 100% done with IPAs. I really felt like the nation in general was just really overdoing it, and then Two Hearted came along. Now, when I tried Two Hearted, it was in a can. And Two Hearted used to come in a pint can, which is what I was excited about.
Which used to come in what, excuse me?
It used to come in a pint can.
Oh.
Because I could crush a pint of this all day, every day.
Oh, really quick, shout out to Pint Cans for All Day IPA.
Yep, well, that'd be a stovepipe can, 19.3.
Okay. I've been crushing those. Like,
hey,
so
New Belgium
hard.
Day Blazer in a 24.
I haven't tried those.
Oh.
I'll do those soon. But no, back to Two Hearted Ale. There is a salmon. It's salmon, right?
Salmon.
Sorry, I like to pronounce the L. There's salmon. Salmon.
Okay, salmon and salmonella are not the same thing.
On the label. That's why it's called Two Hearted Ale.
Because salmon's... Actually, I believe that's a trout.
Oh, Lord. Anyways, but it's a really fucking good IPA. I'm going to say it that way. It's delicious. Invigorates yourself when you're too burnt out from IPAs.
You doing okay over there?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. But anyways, man, I was excited. I tried this a week ago for the very first time, and it was insanity to me.
People want to harp on Pliny the Elder. People want to like rave about Heady Topper. If you're raving about Heady Topper and Pliny the Elder, but you're mad, but you can't say anything good about Two Hearted, get out of my life.
Let's do it this way. Cardinal Directions, right? Best IPAs. I've got to say Sculpin for West Coast.
I'm kind of on the Pliny the Elder bandwagon for best West Coast IPA though.
But isn't Pliny like a special release too though?
Pliny the Younger is a special release.
Oh, the Elder.
Pliny
me.
The Elder.
No, I'm going with Sculpin.
I'll go
as
Pliny.
As an overall IPA that you can drink, I have to go with Sculpin.
I'm still going to go Pliny.
Okay.
Okay.
South. Best IPA.
Ghost in the Machine, Parrish Brewing.
Okay, I'll agree with you. That one or their other one, the one with the astronaut on the label.
I know it's pretty common. I can't think of the name.
Yeah, they've been knocking out
close,
of the park.
Close runner-up to Ghost in the Machine, Catalyst Beer Refinery.
I'm saying overall, like, IPA where you can drink. I don't know if I can drink Catalyst.
Oh, I can go at Catalyst like it owes me money. Okay. If you want to go that route, then I would probably say.
I gotta say,
for a close second to Ghost in the Machine, High Life, Cigar City.
Okay, I guess that's South too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's technically Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
All right, East Coast. Who you got?
I was gonna say for South. Close second. You're gonna hate me for this, but Hopadillo.
I'm not. I thought about saying that also.
Yeah. No. South.
I really did. I did think about saying that. Even
can we agree to and say Hopadillo is close second as a drinker, like a daily drinker?
As just a daily drinker, easily accessible. I will concede, but not agree.
Okay.
I will concede, but not agree.
East Coast.
Oh, let's have some fun here because I've got some good candidates.
Rebel IPA by Sentinel.
Okay, honestly, Rebel is not a bad. Rebel's not a but for what we're talking about, Rebel's not a bad candidate.
Can I say Falco? I gotta say Falco.
You can say Falco. I was gonna go Trillium Brewing, Melker Street.
That's a good one too. But Falco, man, I fucking love that beer.
Okay, but if you're gonna go that way, I'm gonna go Molotov Light. If you want to go the Evil Twin route, because Molotov Light is a really nice, easy drinking IPA. All
right, and North, I'm gonna say Two Hearted.
Yeah, so am I. I'm not even going to argue about that.
Francisco agrees it's cemented.
Hey, I mean, you got Sip of Sunshine's out there, Heady Topper's out there, but I mean, really and truly, like all like Sculpin sales need to screech to a halt right now because Two Hearted's here. Not only from a price point standpoint and a quality standpoint. I mean, $15 for Sculpin, $10 for Two Hearted.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's West versus North, too, though. I mean, there's going to be people that are going to be hardcore on Sculpin, too.
Yeah, but even then, why are you going to drop $15 or $16 on a six-pack of Sculpin when you can drop $17 on a 12-pack of Two Hearted?
Whatever. I like both.
So. I'm on really and truly, as a drinker, I'm anti-Sculpin. I am. I'm anti-Sculpin. I actually think it's one of the... it's one of the most overplayed beers on the market.
Actually, I take it back on West Coast, and I can't believe I just forgot about it. Mainly because most every season it's readily available. Enjoy by it.
Is Founders West Coast? Yeah, Founders is West Coast. No. Stone is West Coast. Enjoy by it, yeah.
Oh, God, if we're going daily drinker, never mind. Founders, all day IPA.
That's Michigan, but it's still not too hearted.
That Founders is Colorado.
No, Founders is Michigan.
Holy shit, where am I? Anyways, Two Hearted Ale, though, one of the best IPAs.
It's one of the best IPAs around, yeah, period.
I bought a six-pack. I almost drank it all.
I'm not leaving Beers Looking at You without a six-pack. I'm not. I mean, I'm just not. And I absolutely love Amarillo hops, and I love what... Do you know Andy Barnard, the former DeFalco's manager? Yeah. So he actually had what we're about to drink, the Texas exclusive from Bell's, Am I Right or Amarillo?
And wait, is that... I heard some violins, and I thought that was Amarillo by Morning.
It was not. It would have been a great segue, though.
Yeah, it
Amarillo
was.
By Morning.
I think we should play this at the end of the show.
You know what? I agree. We could, yeah, let's absolutely, you know, plagiarize George Strait for our own means, because he doesn't have any money to come after us.
I don't care.
So, you know, Andy made a comment that made me want to have this, and his response was, "This is my new jam." And coming from Andy, that is like psychotically high praise, because is probably one of the most like discerning palates in the city.
Well, I mean, when you manage the DeFalco's, of course, you're going to know your shit.
Well, not only that, but you're a foam ranger. You're a part of several homebrewing societies.
Correct.
You're very highly regarded in the brewing side of the industry.
Man, and that...
Yeah, that Amarillo hop comes through like a monster, dude.
God.
So, for those who do not know much about the Amarillo hop, you've had it before, you just don't realize that you've had it before. But
is this single hop then?
It is a single hop Amarillo. And I'm going to go ahead and read the description of the Amarillo hops. So this is very simple. As soon as I actually get to where I'm trying to go. For the me personally, I prefer Hop Union for my Okay, from Hop Union, the Amarillo profile is both floral and citrus. This was discovered and introduced by Virgil Gamache Farms in Washington State. Amarillo brand is an aroma variety that has recently become one of the top 10 varieties utilized by the craft beer industry. Features relatively high alpha acids along with extremely high levels of myrcene for citrus and grapefruit flavors. As a result, it is an excellent dual-purpose hop. Amarillo demonstrates good resistance to downy and powdery mildew. From an aroma, specific aroma descriptors include grapefruit, orange, lemon, melon, apricot, and peach. Now, you know, myrcene is a really interesting essential oil. So, you know, Odell's Brewing Mercenary, MYR.
Yeah.
So the MYR and that stands for myrcene. They use a lot of Amarillo hops in Mercenary. St. Lupulin, which is their homage to the St. Lupulin Extra Pale, is their homage to lupulin oil, which is also, you know, homaged by Knee Deep for Lupulin River, which lupulin and myrcene are high bittering agents that actually give off a lot. One of them gives off citrus, one of them gives off pine. In the case of Amarillo, Amarillo gives off your citrus notes. So this is an American IPA brewed exclusively with Amarillo, brewed exclusively for Texas, suck it, U.S., because you know what they say about the United States. It's really Texas and it's 49 bitches. This, in my opinion, is going to become my new IPA. I'm with Andy. This is my new jam.
Let me give it a good thorough try out then. I don't know. Too hard to tell still.
Two Hearted Ale at 7% is a little bit heavier. It's more robust. I'm more of a session style drinker. This should be in about the fives.
Nope.
Where's it at?
Six.
Nice.
I mean, it's like 1%. Come on.
But
come on.
The body's way less complex. It's allowing the hops to do what the hop does.
I will destroy my palate and drink Two Hearted Ale no matter what.
I'll destroy my palate and drink Two Hearted too, but that's neither here nor there. I understand why Andy is saying that this is his new
No,
jam.
I do too. It is a very pleasant IPA. It's like, hey, endorphins, how do you like this?
Yeah, really and truly it is, because it really does activate, you know, basically every sensory center you could possibly have.
I like good. Well, welcome to Texas Bells.
Welcome to Texas Bells. You know what? For the Amarillo, because Two-Hearted is a straight five for me. It's always been a five ever since I've had it.
I'll put it at a four.
You are a dirty, dirty person, sir. Amarillo, Amarillo, I'm going to call this a very healthy 3.75.
Okay, and I said a four.
Four.
All right, there we go. So,
since we're going to be a pain in the ass.
Oh, man. So, of course, you probably heard a lot of the background noise and everything right now. And like we said, we're at Beer's Looking at You today. I don't know the address, but it's on Highway 3.
We're on Highway
3. Right next to Medical Center.
If you're familiar with the Clear Lake area, we're right next to the smoke ring. We're on Highway 3. It's in between Medical Center and Bay Area Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. A little shopping center. Really good shop. Something that this area needed.
This is quickly becoming one of my favorite places on this side of town.
It is.
It really is. Because I like the entire mentality of it. You've got a quick...
Oh, wait. We have the address. 17074 Highway 3, Webster, Texas, 77598. Thank you, Francisco.
Up top. From someone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And
thank
then,
you.
But TPI, yeah, no, I do enjoy the how they sell their stuff here.
So do I. You know, you can sell the singles. They sell the singles. They sell the six packs. They've got growlers. They have a really awesome digital pour system with what appears to be, if I counted right, about a 50 tap wall.
36. 36.
Got it.
Yeah. But no, what they do here too is, I'm going to bring up Nobi. Nobi is like two blocks away. Channing gives them props here. Because of the fact that their prices are so competitive here, I live 2 minutes away from here.
I live about 12. So,
but when I come in here, though, it's like, hey, my wife and I are hanging out, you know, done with work and everything, and we have like 10 minutes, or we're like, hey, we need some beer. We come over here, 10 minutes, we pick up a couple of singles, and then we come back home. You don't have to grab a whole six-pack here.
No, you can grab exactly what you need. See, my thing that I like here is that, you know, really and truly, this is what Oak Barrel Beer Exchange should have been.
Okay, I got it. As a former employee of Oak Barrel Beer Exchange, I got to agree.
Yeah, this is what Oak Barrel should have been. If the ownership group behind Oak Barrel would have actually cared and done the job that they should have done, then Oak Barrel, this is exactly what Oak Barrel could have been.
Yeah. So, it's a good place to come in, though.
Oh, dude, right? This place is awesome.
It fills up with people every afternoon. I've been here on a weekday, and it's just jam-packed.
The great thing about this, though, is that it's very intimate. I mean, as far as like a setting is concerned, they have seating for about
30
people inside, about 4 people outside. But the rest of it is the keg cooler, it's the reach-in, it's the Metro Rex that they have all the beer on. And the selection is really diverse. I mean, you do see you do see a lot of your retail staples. You see your Pedernales, you see your Wasatch, you see your Sierra Nevada,
your Chimay.
You see your Chimay's, you see your Moretzus, the Guinnesses of the world, Unibrew. But also at the end of the day, they also carry a lot of the stuff that you won't find retail, like from Rogue, the Hazelutely Chocolicious.
Mm-hmm.
They have Black Venom from Copperhead.
This beautiful, which just,
yeah, Red Velvet from Nitro the, yeah. from Ballast Point.
Also, have you had Black Venom?
It's good.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, it's good.
I'm not a stout fan, but holy shit.
I have not been a stout fan in a long time. One of my favorite stouts just got put into cans, though. Outer Darkness.
Oh, by Squatters.
That beer is the Honey Badger of beers. Outer Darkness don't care. Outer Darkness is just going to eat your soul.
I got to try that then.
It is psychotically good. It's what Bleakhorn Unidragon wishes it could be.
Oh.
It's the base Bleakhorn. It's what that beer wishes it could be.
I'm gonna try that out then.
And then I will leave. Sorry. One thing about Bells that I'd like to point out that we completely were just remiss on. So, and if you look at their back label, on the bottom right corner, they actually tell you when the package on date was and actual dating. It's not batch codes that you have to look up. The Oatsmobile and the Amarillo.
We did talk about this earlier.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, son of a bitch.
You said, I said shelf life, and you said that's how it should be.
No. You said 6 months. I was pointing out that it was packaged less than like 14 days ago.
Yeah, because you were like, hey, it's a week old. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh,
and
then yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just edit this part out.
Sorry. This guy, he's out there.
slap. I'm allowed to make mistakes.
But no. If you guys are down in the Clear Lake area or come down for a visit, it's worth stopping here, finding some beers that a lot of the more exclusive releases stick around for a while here.
Yeah, they really do. Because and it's just because it's you know that non-traditional retail environment. I mean, you know, this country was founded commercially on small business. And this is the quintessential style of small business. I mean, you need to support your local people.
Exactly. And then also, if you're a cigar smoker, three doors down, there is a store called The Smokery. One of the best cigar shops I've ever been to.
It's actually probably the best cigar shop in the entire city.
Not only that, but Chris, the owner of Beer's Looking At You, owns Cabal Cigars.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
There you go. You learned something
interesting.
So. And they're excellent cigars, too. They're Nicaraguan cigars. So you got that going for you.
Very cool.
I think we're right about done.
Yeah, I'd say so. We've had actually quite a nice show after missing a month by accident.
Exactly. And we'll be back before the next month with Chris from the Houston Whiskey Social to talk more whiskey.
Are we going
to
get him in this month, or are we going to get him in April?
Yeah, no. We're going to get him this month.
Nice.
All right, so... on behalf of myself and Eric,
Yakida,
good night and cheers, Space City.
Sláinte mar.